I'll do something different this morning. I apologize to y'all up there, but I'm not going to preach on what I gave y'all. God has changed my heart. It scares me a little bit, but I'll tell you one thing. You need to learn what to do if you're going to follow God, is you need to learn to follow the Spirit of the Lord. Last song they sang last night, Jonathan Wilburn got up there and he asked that young man that's playing the piano for the Inspirations. He said, play that song and sing it, Obey the Spirit of the Lord. If you're ever going to learn how to follow God, you're going to have to learn, have an ear that's sensitive to the Spirit of God, so that when God speaks to you, you can follow Him. Now, if you're going to do that, you're going to begin by obeying God for the next 15 minutes. People say, well, how am I going to know how to follow God? Start by obeying God. Because the Bible tells us, and I've got to get rid of this thing, I'm sorry, but all this 25-degree weather has got my throat a little scratchy. No, I don't have COVID. We've had a lot of people that have had it, but praise God, for the most part, they're getting over it. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Psalms chapter 130, and I'm going to read a couple of verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I was sitting there last night, and as they began to sing, I told my wife, I said, you know, it was a blessing when we got there, because Brother Jonathan Wilburn had the first three rows in the center section reserved for our church. We had a very big representation there from the church. And I just sat there and I thought, you know, maybe I'll be close enough, he'll offer me the microphone. Because he come down one time, stood in front of us, and I said, Lord, I can preach. As I looked around and I looked at the people and I thought what I would say, I wanted to tell them what I saw. What I saw in that place were people that were longing for the things of God. It were people that wanted something from God. They wanted to hear from God. It was people that had something invested in heaven. Do you have something invested in heaven? It seems like the older we get sometimes, and I heard a preacher friend of mine say this. He said, the older I get, the more I realize I've got more on that side than I've got on this side. Now, I'll tell y'all something. God has blessed me. God has blessed America. But if this is all you got, you're missing something.
Amen.
I didn't know I was going to say all that. Psalms 130. Let's go there and start reading. And we're going to read just in the fourth verse. And then we're going to go over. And I don't have it marked. I'm sorry, because I didn't know I was going to preach on this until just a few minutes ago. But you know, God knows exactly what we need. He knows what's in our hearts. And as I sat there and I looked around, and it seems like the kind of people that really hungry and desire for the things of God is changing. The world's changing. America's changing. But the Bible still says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning on is the hope that we have in the Lord. Very similar, I guess, to something I preached this past Friday at a funeral. But it's what's on my heart. I heard a preacher say one time, he was pastoring a church up in Pawnee County. He said they came in and he preached a message on Sunday, and of course, you know, the church there, they responded somewhat. He come back the next Sunday, he preached the exact same message, and they kind of looked around at each other. By the third Sunday, the deacons were saying, you know, that's the same thing for the last 3 weeks. That maybe we need to meet with a preacher and talk to him and see what's going on. And so they called a meeting with a preacher, and he said, well, when y'all start obeying that one, I'll move on to the next one. I don't know exactly how it works. But sometimes God, He speaks to our hearts. Psalms 130, beginning in the third verse, says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. I say, more than they which watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Now, as I read that, and you'll notice how that one line is repeated, where it said, I say more than they which watch for the morning. You know, sometimes as Christians, there begin to be in our walk with God and in the struggles of life and the things that we face, there begin to be times that we have intense longings for God, intense longings for the things of God, intense longings for the presence of God, maybe even intense longings to be in the presence of God, especially, as just mentioned this morning, Brother Tom, if we've lost so many people that we love. People that were an important part of this church who had such a great testimony that you look for them. They're pillars that hold, seemingly hold the church up. And sometimes in our hearts and our minds, when we're seeking God and we're looking for God and we're reaching out trying to find His presence that He might move and help us and help us understand, it's like sitting when you can't sleep at night, waiting for the morning to come. I want us to flip over now to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading in the 13th verse. This is the scripture. If Brother Jonathan had handed me the mic last night, a couple of these verses I might have had to read. But it says this, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now I want us to think for just a few minutes about the hope that we have in the Lord. And I want to ask you the question this morning. Where do you get your hope? As we try to share with you just a few thoughts, and we're not going to stay in long this morning, but I want you to think about where you get your hope. There are some people that don't have the hope that you and I have, and they don't have it because of what we find based in this scripture. Now, where it says here, I would not have you be ignorant, he's saying, I don't want you to be misunderstanding or to be not knowing, because doesn't the Bible teach us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? When we leave this walks of life, immediately, I believe when a Christian closes their eyes in death, immediately they are in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. And he's talking about those that have died. And then he says, even as others which have no hope. Because there are many that have no hope. You go to the funeral home and we have several friends from church, Sunday school teachers, preachers, some of them you know very well, that work in a funeral home. We talked to one this week and he said, you know, I don't want to say, he's talked about how long he's worked there. He said, I don't want to say that I enjoy working at a funeral home. He said, but I will tell you that I find it to be a blessing because of the ability to be able to minister to people and to help people during a very difficult and troubling time of their life. Have you ever thought, why would anybody want to work at a funeral home? Why would anybody want to be a chaplain as a hospital? But I want to tell you something, as Christians, we have hope that the world does not have. There are people today, and I work with a large company, friends of mine, they lose dads, they lose moms, they lose loved ones. Not all of them even have a funeral anymore. They don't celebrate the homegoing of their loved ones because the truth is, when they're gone, they have no hope that they will see them again. And that's what he's talking about. Even as others that have no hope. But I want you to look at the 14th verse. In the first part of this verse, here's where the power of this scripture lies. He says, for if we believe.
There it is.
That's it, right? That's it, Brother Tommy. If we believe. Do you believe? My hope comes from my relationship with God. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we have hope. And he says, then he goes on and he says, even though them also which sleep in Jesus. Now, number one thing I want you to see is our hope that we have is because of our faith. Faith is important. You must have faith. And I want to tell you something. You can say, well, I don't believe all that Jesus stuff. My wife told me about a commercial that she saw on television this past week where a man spent his own money, I'm talking about big money, to tell the whole world that he did not believe in God and he didn't have any fear of going to hell. That's where the world's at today. Let me tell you something. You got to have faith to say that. You got to have faith to say that you believe in evolution. You got to have faith to believe in something. Where do you get your hope? My hope is in the Lord. That's where the key to my hope is in my faith in God. You see, I have hope in my faith, and I have this hope that I will see my loved ones again. You know, when I begin to think about heaven and the things of heaven, you know, we were there this past Friday with the funeral of Miss Mary Gregg, and they had been visiting the church sitting right over here. And, you know, I just such a blessing, these people. And I told the story about how this lady actually was so outgoing and loved the Lord that the first time we ever went to Macklin Baptist Church, she met us, walked us around the church, told us everything in the church, showed us where the gym was at, and she said it like this: this is where your kids are going to be in Awana. Then she took us to the choir room and she said, now Kendra, she called you my name. She said, now Kendra, this is where you're going to be singing in the choir. And then she took her to the kitchen and she said, now Kendra, this is where you're going to be working and helping us serve others. And Kendra looked at her and she said, well, now we hadn't even joined yet. She said, oh, but you will. Well, why am I telling you that story? I want to tell you something. A lot of people think, you've heard the story, when we get up to heaven, St. Peter's going to meet us at the gate. I've told people it's probably going to be Miss Mary Gregg. And she's going to say, right over here is the crystal sea. And right over here are the gates of pearl. And right over here are the walls of jasper. And she said, but most of all, you're going to want to see Jesus. I believe they're rejoicing in the Lord. Brother Tommy, Miss Betty is praising God. Yeah. You remember what she looked like at her very, very best. You're going to see her like that again. Yeah. You're going to see Quinn again. Yeah. You're going to see Brother Jimmy Beal again. Yeah. You're going to see Wesley Johnson praising God again. Yeah. Because the hope that we have is because of our faith in Jesus. Yeah. And it's eternal. I want to tell y'all something. As I was reading this scripture, God showed me something. The 14th verse. He says, for if we believe. I've told y'all the stories at work where I'll be sitting there. And some of the people I work with, they have a trumpet on their phone as a ringtone. And I was sitting there one time, that trumpet went off and first thing I said is, did y'all hear that? Because I want you to understand something. Not everybody's going to hear it because everybody's not going. But there's going to come a sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. And I want to tell you, the people of God are going home to be with God. You see, because one thing is definitely going to happen. Is you and I are either going to die or we're going up with the Lord. But did you notice this latter part of the 14th verse? He said, those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, if I die and I open my eyes in heaven, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to see my dad again. I'm going to see my mom again. Any of you ever had dreams or visions of your loved ones, and maybe it's just like God lets you see them for just a few minutes? I want to tell you something. I've done that about my mom. I've done that about my dad. I've done that about other loved ones. And when God allows me to see them, it's like pulling out the picture album and finding a picture of them of when they're about 30 or 35 years old. They've got hair. I don't have any now. It's the right color. You know what's going to happen? The Bible says His Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. When you see them, you're going to know them.
That's right.
Here's what's exciting. One day I'm going to be with the Lord. I may see the Lord come back. You know, I've said that. I've heard it. I don't know. Things are getting, as I heard a preacher say one time, things are getting lined up for leaving for the meeting in the air. But if I go up, I'm going to be with the Lord. But if that trumpet sounds and that archangel says, "Stand back, Jesus is coming." You know, when I look up, we're going to see Him arrayed in all of His glory. He's going to be God. He's going to be King. And every knee's going to bow. And that's exciting to me. And I've been so thinking about that, Brother Tom, I've kind of missed this other part. But I believe I'm going to look up and there's going to be Mom. There's going to be Dad. There's going to be my sister, Wendy, that passed away. I'm going to look up and I'm going to see all those loved ones that we've lost over the years. All the people that have been so precious in our lives, they're coming back with Him based on what I'm seeing. And we're going to rise up together, and Christians, and so the Scripture says this. This is the comfort that we have in our hope. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I know you like that. Ever and ever and ever. Look at this late 18th verse. It says, wherefore, listen to this, comfort one another with these words. Now, folks, I want to tell y'all something. I told you I wouldn't preach long. Don't you understand this? Many people that you and I know have had loss. And some, we're going to see more until Jesus comes. And not everybody deals with grief the same way. Some people, they make peace with it before it happens and they just march right on. And other people look at them and they say, how do they do that? Other people, 3 years later, they're still in the same place. But I want to tell you something. There's grace that comes from God that's available to you to be poured out on you when you're ready for it. Don't judge one another, but the Scripture says this. This is something you can use. This Scripture, comfort one another with these words. You know, I've been serving the Lord my whole life. I sat down and I thought about the other day all the people that were at the church where I got saved at Welcome Hill Baptist Church down in Bolton area of Atlanta. The vast majority of those people, Brother Rick, have done gone on. The pastors, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, the little buildings, not even there anymore. Then I pulled down the ordination paper and the license paper where I was licensed to preach and ordained. And I read the names and I say, God, most of these people. And it's almost like God finishes your sentence. And He just says, yeah, they're with me now. I'm going to see them again. Now, what am I going to do in the meantime? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to try to raise my kids. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to catch some big fish. Amen. And I'm going to eat some good stuff. But I'm not going to live like the world because the world's gone a long way away from God. I'm just going to keep looking up. And I'm going to rejoice in the hope that we have. Now, I know sometimes here we grieve. Sometimes here we struggle. Sometimes here we have hurt. Sometimes there are things we don't understand. Sometimes there are things that we say, well, God, if you're there, if you're real. And what God really wants to do is He wants to wrap His arms around you. There's a verse over here in the book of Revelation. It's one verse, if I can find it. I wasn't prepared for this, obviously. But it talks about this. He says he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. You see, I believe when we step into the portals of heaven, what God's going to do is, and I love that verse over there in Psalms where it says, delight yourself also in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Is God's going to pour out things on you and bless you, and you're going to be able to see the glory of the Lord. You're going to be able to rejoice in the joy of the Lord. My son played me a song yesterday called Outskirts of Heaven. And it said, just set my cabin on the outskirts of heaven where the fields are old with hay, where the grass is green for eternity. And I begin to sit there and think about when you get to heaven, here's what I want you to understand. You're not going to get up there and be dissatisfied. You're going to be happy with what God's got for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, I want to give you a special, special invitation to know Him. The way you get saved and the way you come to know the Lord is the same today because it's the same word. It's been preached for years. When God speaks to your heart through His Holy Spirit, you just come and invite Him in. I'm going to ask you as they play a song, if you'd rise to your feet. If you've got something you're heavy-hearted about, I want you to understand God loves you more than you can comprehend. If you've got something you need to pray about, you're in a church with an altar. Come and talk to Him. Most importantly, if you've never met Jesus as your personal Savior, all you got to do is come with what you have. Doesn't have to be special or words that include this and exclude that. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Because the Scripture says this, as many that shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you please come?
I see the work of your hands, galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice, all at once it's a gentle and fine.